The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know me, I don't need no introduction in this.
It's time to play for a title.
In our world, you don't get the opportunity to be satisfied.
This is Primetime on Big Ten Championship Week.
Brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here.
Gabriel pumps, now he'll run, and Gabriel is going to get there. Touchdown, Oregon.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No. Strong no.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Oregon taking on Penn State in the Big Ten Championship. It'll be here on The Fan Saturday, 5 o'clock.
First time they've played since the 94 Rose Bowl.
I know, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Here's the coach, Dan Lanning, I believe. He's on the line. Dan Lanning, can you hear us?
Yeah, how you guys doing? Hey.
Good. How old were you in 1994, by the way?
We went to Disney World that year with my family. I think it was in second grade.
Wow. So you don't remember the big Penn State Oregon Rose Bowl matchup, I'm guessing.
Don't remember it well, no.
Did you have the delicious Opus X yesterday?
No, I didn't, but you got a good memory. We got a lot of things going on right now. Not a lot of time to slow down and enjoy things.
Yeah, I figured. I was going to ask you that. How did you balance signing day with preparation for this game?
Very carefully. I mean, there is no balance right now, so you just try to squeeze in as much as you can in the amount of time that you have. But it went really smooth. We got a great staff, and everything went really well.
Do we need to just sit down here over the next year or two and come up with a refurbed calendar? It's just kind of seems ridiculous that, you know, teams are preparing for a national championship run here, and we got free agency and basically the draft happening in the middle of the season.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Somebody ought to figure that out. But, hey, it is what it is, right?
When you study Penn State, which of their games, I mean, so you watch them all, but which of their games do you study most? Does one or two stick out?
I don't think you pick just one or two games. I mean, I think you try to figure out what teams look the most like you, play similar schemes to you. But we really like digging through all of it.
Who does Penn State most remind you of than what you've seen?
Oh, not a lot. There's not a lot of teams that what they do offensively is very unique and different. So I don't think we've seen anybody this year that looked quite like them. Just a variety of formations, how they utilize their personnel. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about Kotel Nicki. He's their offensive coordinator, and I'm a Kansas mm-hmm. fan, and so watched him closely last year, and he was just flat-out dynamite for them. What does he present a defense? Because I know he is really well respected. I know you've talked about him before, about all the explosives he's created. Just what makes him so good?
Yeah, just again, I think it's hard to prepare for it because there's such a variety of formations, how he utilizes his personnel, stuff that you don't normally see. You turn on one of their, football games and you're going to say, okay, how would you adjust to that? They make you ask a lot of questions about how you defend things, and then they utilize their personnel really well.
Yeah, I mean, Ty Warren is a you know, he's going to be a top 10, top 15 NFL pick, best tight end in the country, most people think. And I feel like they use him maybe as much and in different ways than any players used in the country.
Yeah, they certainly do. They definitely, he's a catalyst for their offense for sure.
So what must you do to be efficient against that offense? And is a lot of it on your quarterback?
Our quarterback?
Your defensive quarterback.
You want our quarterback to go out there and play defense?
Well, maybe. Yeah, if he's smart.
Yeah, you know, they'll never.
If we do that, I don't like our chances.
That'd be great.
I'll be there. I mean, Dylan's a great quarterback, but I'm not going to put a lot of it on him. Stopping their offense, I'm not putting very much of that on Dylan at all.
They'll never see it coming,
dude. That's thinking outside the box.
I know.
Yeah, they would never see that coming.
And that's what you do. And, you know, you'd get headlines. You get headlines every week for, for all the things you do. That could be fun. That's the next one. No, I meant your defensive quarterback.
All right. God, this is all over. But yeah, we can't give up explosive plays. Like we can't give up explosive plays, and then we got to create explosive on offense. I mean, they're a good football team, and they got more weapons than just their tight end. They got a great scheme. They got a good quarterback. They got good running backs, and got to be aware of where those guys are at all times. But yeah, we can't give up explosive plays. That's probably where it starts, and then offensively, we got to be able to create some.
How is your philosophy when you're playing against a team that maybe has just any one particular stand-up player? What's your philosophy on paying extra attention to someone, rolling someone over the top versus just kind of, you know, running your scheme and, hey, this is kind of what we do?
Well, I think you always want to be aware of where people are at when you talk about a team's strengths. What makes it harder about how Penn State does it is that guy plays so many different positions and moves around the field, so... you can't just say, okay, I'm going to line up my best corner on Tyler Warren. Well, then he's lined up the next play at running back or quarterback in the backfield and catching a snap. Like, so this doesn't work like that. And that's probably what makes them more challenging is that they move their personnel around a lot.
So you always want to be playing best at this time of the year. Just kind of where do you think your guys are at? You know, you seem to be getting healthy at the right time. Do you feel like you guys are peaking heading into the games that really matter?
Yeah, I mean, we played well last week, but this is a new week. So I thought, you know, last week was probably our most complete game. You know, hate the last score there at the very end that we gave up. But ultimately, we played really clean in all three phases last week and love to build off of that this week.
Where do you find a Washington helmet? Is that an eBay sort of thing? How do you go about finding that at the half?
No comment.
Nice.
I like it. Subterfuge.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you see when you watch Drew Aller?
Yeah, big quarterback, strong arm. You know, he can really move the ball down the field. I think he makes great decisions. He makes their offense tick.
Have you played against a pass rusher like Carter this year?
I don't think we have. No, I think he's probably as good as we've seen. He's certainly got a ton of twitch and a guy that we have to be aware of.
Now, what is twitch? Describe twitch.
Like fast. Like how fast? Is that like if you went to the weight room right now and you did squat, like what do you think you'd squat right now? 500 or 5 pounds?
Well, probably 5 pounds. Yeah.
5 pounds. All right. So the twitch element of that is how fast you move that 5 pounds. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay.
So it's how fast he's able to move. He has a lot of twitch. Like trying to kill a fly with a fly swatter. He's got that.
Okay. Oh yeah. Right. That's a good analogy. I'm telling you, I'd twitch. Be really fast with 5 pounds.
I mean, you know, back in the day, I mean, Coach, he recovered a fumble in the Pheasant Bowl in Salina, Kansas.
That's right. He probably heard about it.
It's kind of a big deal. Being from the Midwest, I'm assuming you've heard about the Pheasant Bowl.
Yeah. Do college? Okay, so I'm asking this question because Carson Beck said that he didn't like watching college football. It gave him anxiety. Do players like watching games, or do they go about their college lives and not pay attention to other teams and games as much?
I can't really speak on that. I think our players watch football. I hope they do, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't. I mean, we spend a lot of time together. We watch a lot of football together. I know that. So, but when we're not together, how much do they watch? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they watch it.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. It's like. the difference between watching tape and watch. I'm assuming even if you're not watching tape, you just like watching football.
For sure. It's the greatest sport known to man, right? Tonight, you got Thursday Night Football. Who's playing tonight?
Lions-Packers. Best of the year.
I feel like the Lions are getting a lot of premier games, it seems like. Maybe it's just because last week was Thanksgiving. You always, you know. I mean, who doesn't like watching football?
Lions are actually, I mean, a lot of people think Lions are the best team in the NFL. I mean, it's a weird world that the Ducks are running college football. The Lions are running the NFL. It's a bunch of new bloods. We love it.
Yeah, but how about them Chiefs? You know what I mean?
Your Chiefs, yeah. They look bad.
They still got it rolling too, right?
Yeah, well, only lost once.
We were talking yesterday. Yeah.
Tight matches, but they've been coming out with the W's, right?
Yeah. They have. They've
got that quarterback. I don't know if you know anything about quarterback play, but he's pretty good. I think, you know, you should probably try to find a guy like that. He's pretty solid.
All right.
Well, I like ours. That's for sure.
Is the it's interesting because you got you know, we won't talk a lot about the recruiting class, but you got another Polynesian Pipeline quarterback, and he talked about how he grew up admiring Dillon Gabriel. Dillon Gabriel, obviously Mariota and the number eight thing. Just what the significance of that? I mean, that to me, you know, when everyone's trying to get to the islands and kind of grab these kids. How special is that now that you kind of have built something pretty unique there at that position and the success and with that pipeline?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge to be able to lean on connections and opportunities that exist here in our program. And certainly I think the success of guys like Marcus and Dillon, you know, paved the road for us to have opportunities for guys like Jared and KJ.
Because didn't you say Dillon was kind of one of his big recruiters?
Yeah, I think they definitely had some conversations. Like, I always challenge these guys, you know, when they're coming into our program. Like, don't ask me. I'm going to tell you great things about our program. Go ask our players, right? So go ask them the truth, and I think they'll tell you, you know, what you can expect from us here.
Now, if you were going to have an Opus X, where's the humidor?
In the cigar room.
At home? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So you have a cigar room.
Got a cigar room, yeah.
Stocked?
I haven't been in there a while, so I don't know if it's but usually there's some stogies up there to tap into.
So I'm guessing winning a Big Ten championship, that would probably elicit a trip, give you a little downtime. Does that elicit a trip to the cigar room?
We'll see. I don't know.
Well, then
yeah, I haven't thought that far ahead.
Then he's got transfer portal.
One of these days.
No rest for the weary.
One of these days.
Somewhere around February. Yeah, somewhere around February would probably elicit a trip. Right. Yeah.
Well, hey, good luck in Indianapolis against Penn State, and good luck on the recruiting trail, the portal trail, or whatever they call it.
Appreciate it.
You know?
You guys have a good one.
All right, see ya. There he goes.
The portal trail. The Oregon trail. I'm a little disappointed because
you didn't ask him to have a cigar with him.
Oh yeah.
What's the matter with you?
Forgot about that.
Chicken.
Well, maybe in February. I think that's the key. Is it's got to be an off season. It's got to get down there.
What?
The only thing I'm disappointed about was the Rose Bowl matchup. Like, because Penn State's wearing the all whites, and Oregon earlier this year wore the yellow, green, yellow. The Rose Bowl throwbacks. Did. It was right there. And they went with the damn All Blacks.
They had to go with yet another unused combo.
I don't like it.
You had it.
I don't like it.
Penn State, Oregon, it was right there.
I read first time since 2008 that they're going green lid, black top, black pants.
2008?
Just once in one of these big time games, I would love it if they would go with...
Wear with their school colors?
Yeah, go with some traditional.
Exactly.
That's a pretty common complaint among like the diehard Duck fans is, I love all the stuff we do, but when it comes to the big games, people should know it's you and your colors.
Well, yes, because there's a lot of people tuning in to you for the first time.
Right.
And you see a team in black, and you're like, wait, who's that?
Well, like that national championship game against Auburn, they came out in like carbon fiber helmets and silver and like neon highlighter. It didn't really look like green and yellow.
No, it's a bit off for me. And I really think this year's unis, when they've done the traditional stuff, whether the yellow, white, yellow, or the yellow, green, kind of the throwback stuff, I think it's one of the best looks in college football.
It's been great.
It's so, it's just, and it just, it would have, with the Penn State being the traditional, the clean whites in the Big Ten title game, God, it would have been a Rose Bowl throwback. And I was like, there's no way they don't do it. And then I was a little they look good. The All Blacks look good, but it's just,
I do also appreciate, though, like the juxtaposition of like they are the old school team, we are the new school team, and so this is us, and this is what this is. I can appreciate that side of it as well.
Dan Lanning's appearances here on our show brought to you by Unitas Community Credit Union. Like a coach's playbook, Unitas has a winning strategy for your finances. Unitas. Post-game show?
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, we've kind of already broken it down.
I mean, I want to hear about your fast twitch on the 5-pound squats.
Yeah. Well, when I said five, I meant 500.
You have the Jason Swaggart, Danny Meringue squatting.
But I would not have much twitch.
No.
On 500.
No.
Well, then why'd you lie to him? He asked 5 or 500, and
you said
5 pounds.
Well, because I thought it would be more fun to say 5 pounds. Yeah. And, you know, I'm humble.
Yeah. I bet you get
humble liar.
I bet you get 135.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a 45 on each side.
Let's not try. How about that?
I want to see Rop in. I want to see Rop in the squat cage.
We'll keep you guessing.
Let's go.
Well, we had the combine. Yeah. several years ago.
What, like 15 years ago?
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago.
It was a while ago.
What year was that?
I wasn't around. I don't know.
Nah, it was a long time ago. I just remember once years ago that Swag, who's never lifted in his life, came out and said that he could squat 300 pounds. And then they actually went to crunch.
Here's the situation.
And I think he quit at like 185 because
it's
his spine was going to blow out. Good times.
At least now Coach Lanning knows about the Pheasant Bowl.
Yeah.
He already knew. Yeah. Don't let him fool you.
Yeah. I mean, he said he did. I was skeptical.
He plays it cool, but he knows. Everybody out there knew back then.
Yeah.
The twitch. So that would have been, so he said he was in second grade in 95?
Well, something like that. It was 94, I think was the record.
Yeah, so he would not have been born
But the legend lives on.
When news hit of my...
But the legend lives on.
Me falling on a fumble in the...
I mean, he still knows
about it. The first thing his parents told him when he came out. Hey, you know what, son? You know what you missed?
Yeah.
He still knows about the
I'll
twitch.
Send him a few clippings. Yeah. Remind him. I'm a little disappointed you didn't... Come on, you were supposed to go down there and have a cigar with him.
Yeah. I don't think he was in joking mode today.
Well, he kind of seemed to have some fun today.
I was laughing a little bit.
More so than normal.
I think it was more about the absurdity of it. I do enjoy is that the first time anyone's ever asked you how much you squat?
Yeah, and I appreciate that it comes from Dan Lanning.
Yes. That has never been asked to you before at any point in your life.
How much do you squat?
How much you bench?
All right, well, we'll do a post-game show. We'll see what happens. And then we got in the news. You know, in the news today is very special. Shark news.
Oh,
did you see this?
I did see it.
Oregon shark news.
Yeah. We got a lot of ocean news.
Right there in the Willamette.
Yeah. The Willamette.
So, Dan Lanning postgame next on The Fan.
I don't mind talking to y'all.
All right.
We learned a lot today.
Well, he's got a humidor upstairs.
But here's
he doesn't know.
He has a cigar room.
Cigar room.
I'm jealous because if I smoke in the house, I get yelled at. But I also find it interesting that he doesn't know what's in his humidor.
Right.
Which means
someone else is stocking
it for him.
I don't think he's a huge cigar guy.
Probably not. Because I can tell you what's in mine.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's a really cool house that already had that feature, and so somebody has showed him how to use it? Are we thinking that? Or do you think he made that for his house?
No, I think that was in there.
Yeah.
And he slightly uses it. He said he hadn't been up there in a while. Yeah. I mean, that it's possible that he hasn't been up there since that video of him smoking the Opus X last year.
I've got some buddies of mine that like a cigar, but they probably smoke one or two a year. And, you know, it's probably one of those things.
I think a lot of cigar smokers are like that.
Yeah. Whereas if you're someone that smokes a lot, like I like to do it when I'm just walking my dog. So, like, I know what's in mine, but I guess if you haven't opened up your humidor in 6 months... By the way, hopefully he's keeping that thing moist, because those hate to see beautiful Opus X's dry out.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't like that word moist. But look, when you're a rich guy like that, in a nice house like that,
it doesn't matter.
Somebody's handling that.
If you got a dry cigar, I bet you someone can get a good one.
Right.
I'm also willing to guess that Opus X is not purchased by him.
No.
I'm guessing that's
he probably gets a bunch of gift cigars.
I gotta tell you, I think that, and this is a good thing for Duck fans. Mm-hmm. The more we talk to him.
Yeah.
The less, what am I trying to say? He doesn't know a whole hell of a lot about anything outside of what he's doing on a weekly basis.
Yes.
So
It feels,
that leads me to believe that other people do a lot of things for him.
The eye is not off the ball.
It feels a little bit akin to when Chip Kelly took over for Bilotti and everyone was wondering why Chip wasn't doing all the social things and all of that. It's like he is so singularly focused on his one thing that anything that can be outsourced is outsourced.
We've learned that. We learned that Dan Lanning went to Disneyland when he was young. We learned about Twitch. We learned about Rop's squat thrust today. I mean, we learned a lot of things. And Ty Warren is good.
By the way, you don't want to go to Disneyland around that time. Because he was talking about that during the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, it's not.
That's like the worst time of year to be at Disneyland.
Yeah.
I've been.
It's terrible.
I went.
It's the end of the holiday break, and then it's everybody from those two cities who's converging on the Rose Bowl, like using that as an opportunity to go to Disneyland.
We went. I've only been to Disneyland a couple times. One year we went the day after Christmas, and they said that it was the busiest day of the year. Mm. To the point where, I don't know what it's always like at Disneyland, but that day, we had the kids with, you know, like, Meat was with us and his little cousin who lives down there. So, you know, we wanted to show him the best time. We could not get on any of the good rides. You can get on the crappy rides, but not the good ones. Yeah. You have to stand in line for like 2 hours.
Well, I went there I went to Disney World a couple years ago on my own, which, by the way, that's the way to do it.
Sans kids.
I can't recommend that.
You might get arrested.
Yeah, well, I did get kicked out of Star Wars, the cantina. But that, I had a grand old time.
Aren't they casing the place for people like you?
I think so. Well, look, I was profiled, and I don't appreciate
it. You should be profiled. You're a perp. You don't have kids with you.
No, and I was in an arm sling, too.
Yeah, see? You know? All the red flags.
It was. Still, I didn't appreciate it. But I just didn't realize, because I was never a big Disney guy, and then I went without my kids, and I was like, this is amazing. And you can drink as much as you want. Maybe you can take some pills. You can have a grand old time. But I will say that the lines and everything, I just don't know how people do that stuff, especially in the heat.
Well, they're so long.
They are, like, the Star Wars rides, which was like, hey, I want to go on those. The big Star Wars ride, I forget what they call it, but they have one that's like the big ride. Everyone wants to go on it. The line for that thing all day. And I was like, I'm going to be here all day. I'll maybe wait till the end. They said, no, there is a 2+ hour wait at any time. And the fast passes, you have to stay at one of the Disney resorts to even get the option to buy them, because they sell out, and they sell out before they even go on sale to the public. So that's not even a choice. And it's just standing in line for 2 hours for things. I don't know how you do that with kids.
We think we're going to attempt to brave Disney late January, early February with Cannon for the first time. Yeah. But he's not going to be a ride guy. He's only four. So it's going to be mostly about like meeting characters and crap. That seems like the easy thing.
What about
to
the little one?
Well, he'll just be in the stroller having a good grand old time.
See, this is the other one. I'm telling you, Buck, that's a mistake, because your bratty kids won't remember it.
Well, so here's the thing. We're already going to be down there for a family reunion. Oh, so it's not like we're planning the trip. We're going to go for one day only. We'll see how long he lasts. It's going to be a trial and error deal.
How bad would you feel if you never took them to Disneyland?
Depends how much they knew about it and if they wanted to go.
You got to take them at least once, right?
Well, I think every parent thinks that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know my wife certainly did.
Yeah. You got to do it. Trust me, no one disliked Disney more than me, and I still ended up taking them twice, because you didn't. And one, we lived in Florida, and when you live in Florida.
I grew up in the Bay Area, so just getting down to Disney was not a big deal.
When do you think he finds out about it? Let's say you never take him.
But
I mean, like, he's already aware of like Mickey Mouse and his friends, but I don't think he knows about Disneyland.
Well,
so,
of course not. So when does he find out?
Second grade, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, I'm thinking by the time he's 10 to 12, he's putting some pressure and be like, what the hell, Dad?
Yeah. And that's 10. You turn 10 when you're in like fourth grade?
Yeah.
I think.
I mean, look.
Son, we're not going to Disneyland.
So we start probably getting bugged about it, kindergarten to second grade, somewhere around there.
Do you know what this is, an AR?
That is interesting. If you told your kid, there will be no Disneyland, but how do you feel about semi-automatic rifles?
And teach you to shoot, son.
Good, Dad.
By the way, did you see the healthcare CEO that got off?
Oh.
That dude was writing stuff on the bullets.
I did see that.
Well, can we, we're going to.
Yeah.
I've got a whole thing on that.
And now other people are posting the whereabouts
So that'll be in the club. We got to talk about that. That is fascinating. The whole story is fascinating. If you don't know what he's talking about.
It's crazy.
Wait for the club.
Yeah, and social media, dude, there's some bad stuff going on in social media getting on a day-to-day basis.
Are you serious?
I think this may be the worst thing I've seen. I mean, this is
so we'll get to that at 6. Bad. Up next, though, hey, I've got Oregon Coast shark news. ITN.
Yeah.
And tsunami news? Is there tsunami news as well?
Dude, it's all not about really. The coast.
Yeah. There was an earthquake. There was no tsunami.
There was a warning.
There was a warning.
Yes, there
they
was.
They said, don't you visit out here.
No, they said there could be big water, ocean water.
We'll get to that next, but first, Buck with SportsCenter. All right. We have it on good authority. It sounds like Dylan Gabriel is going to start at linebacker.
I love it. I love it. Never see it coming.
Lanning will be trending on social media again.
I did like the suggestion on the text line that said, when Dan rolls Dylan out there for the first series just to pull him off the field, you guys are going to love that.
Yeah. It'd be a little homage.
A little ode to our show.
Yeah.
Jogs out there and puts his hand in the dirt.
What if he plays and he's awesome?
Linebacker. You can do a free defensive substitute. Like, as long as you're subbing legally, just let him run on and run off.
I'm willing to guess that, I mean, at some point, Dylan Gabriel played defense.
Sure.
Yeah, high school.
Might have been second grade, but.
Yeah, well, junior high, right? By the time you get to high school, most guys don't play two ways anymore, but, you know, maybe. Played linebacker at some point.
December 5, 2024, it's time for In the News. You like that?
I like it.
I didn't.
I felt it.
A little Peter Brady of me there.
When it's time to change. I could never see the Brady Bunch the same way once I knew that Greg was violating the mom. It's just...
What?
Greg Brady was stooping Florence Henderson.
I thought Greg was gay.
No, that's the dad.
Oh, that's right.
The dad was gay.
The dad was gay, yeah.
Greg...
So he was not stooping.
He was not stooping the mom. Greg was stooping the mom, and I just can't...
He was stupid Peter.
I can't see it the same. Just...
Why not?
Doesn't work for me.
It's beautiful.
Because it was wholesome.
It's a beautiful thing.
Is she going to tell me that Love. Sam the Butcher what? Was doing something? That
He was with Alice.
Alice was running some sort of weird commune in New Mexico. Man. She's like a religious zealot.
The seediness of the Brady Bunch.
Who would have thunk, right? Well, the Cosbys, right? Maybe the more wholesome the show. Wasn't the one girl from Full House, like, wasn't she doing crystal meth?
Yeah, Jody Sweetin had a big drug problem.
Different strokes. We know what was going on. They're all dead. I'm telling you, the more wholesome the show, the worse it is.
Although that Candace Cameron's done okay. Married a hockey player. She married Pavel Bure.
Pavel Bure.
Really?
Yeah, she's super.
And then she
Christian
was on
lady.
Like with The View or something like that.
It's brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is the day of the ninja.
Really?
Yeah. What are you laughing?
Because when I was a kid, dude,
ninjas are awesome.
I thought ninjas were the amount of bad karate movies that I have watched in my life. And by the way, I love that they all starred white people. Like every ninja movie I ever watched, the ninja was white.
Well, we were led to believe as white people that if we were let afoul into some nefarious doings, there would be ninja henchmen around. Like that would be part of it.
And yet somehow the white guy that studied when he was like 15 is better than all of the ancient Japanese.
Oh, yeah.
It is also National Blue Jeans Day.
Oh, all right.
You have blue jeans on?
I don't. I don't wear a lot of jeans anymore. I got a couple pair, but to be honest with you, I think the pant game, we're just doing better stuff nowadays than straight blue jeans. I think we can do better. But the blue jeans that you do get the ones that have like that 5% spandex in them that got the stretch. Game changer.
Imagine coming face to face with a great white shark, 2,000 pounds.
Nah, I'm all right.
12 feet long.
Nah.
Well, it happened to a Vancouver man.
Yeah.
He was spearfishing in Pacific City.
I've been to Pacific many times.
He said the shark was swimming about 8 to 10 feet away. His name is Vlad. Because, of course.
Yeah. By the way, who the hell at this time of the year is just out cruising around?
Well, he was spearfishing.
Must be good spearfishing.
Yeah, he said he was spearfishing for lingcod.
Get the wetsuit on out there. I think there's better ways to catch some cod. Huh?
I was guessing that as well. Couldn't you do that above water?
I don't like that.
Yeah, Vlad.
Well, maybe he wants to be Vlad the Impaler, and therefore he has to do the impaling with that.
Well, he did say that the conditions off the coast on this day in that weekend were picture perfect. And so they headed out there for a couple days. They came up with a 42-pound cod.
Well, that's cool.
I mean, that's a pretty big-ass cod.
Sounds like a win.
Yeah, big cod.
But he said, because they were all like, well, let's go home.
Yeah.
Let's go drinking.
Yeah.
And he was like, no. I want one for myself. So what did he do? He jumped in the water.
Yeah.
Vlad.
Yeah.
He was free diving to try to get his own before they left.
Yeah. And this is what happens.
And yeah, it was caught on camera.
Yeah.
A 12-foot great white shark swam right by him.
Yeah, I saw it on KGW, and it is the amount of fear pee that I would have in that moment. My wetsuit would be very, very warm and toasty.
He said that he was about 30 to 40 feet underneath the surface of the water.
Yeah.
And he quickly...
By the way, Vlad's kind of a badass. That's
a deep dive for a free dive.
That is a serious deep free dive.
Yeah, how far out do you think they were?
I don't know.
I don't care if you're close to shore or not. Being down 40 feet without a tank is...
Like, that's kind of... I don't know if Vlad's full of crap. Have you ever been down even, like, in the, like, 20 feet? Like, you start to feel the pressure.
Yeah.
He said he quickly swam back to the boat... And he had his gun. He had an AR on him.
Gosh. That's some crazy stuff.
Well, they interviewed the Oregon State University professor by the name of Tyler Chappell. And he studies sharks and marine life. And they asked him, how common would this be? And he said, if you have ever been swimming in the ocean or surfing, a shark has definitely spotted you.
Yeah.
And that's just saying that right there is terrifying.
Yeah.
He says, it's more often than not a shark is going to see you than you are going to see the shark. I'm sure this fisherman has had a shark around them before.
But a great white?
He added that there's 15 different species of sharks in Oregon. Bloop, 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 bloop. Yeah. And one of them's the great white. But there aren't, they're pretty rare.
Yikes.
Pretty cool.
Nope, never. The only thing I saw was a white tip. It was the only shark that I've ever come in proximity with, and it was way below me. I was snorkeling, and it was way down deep, and I still had some fear pee, and was like, "Yeah, I don't want to be here."
I came face to face with a tiger shark.
Yeah, you were in the cage, right?
Yeah, and I have a photo of it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that thing's a little. Even in the cage, that would get my.
He wanted to eat me.
My heart pumping a little bit.
I flipped him off.
Someone's saying the lingcod are way, way out there, so he may have been like...
30 miles out?
Yeah, someone's saying he may have been like middle of the ocean, which is even scarier.
That's crazy.
Screw that whole thing.
Well, we did have an earthquake in Northern California.
Big
off
one.
The coast. 7.0,
It was the biggest one in years.
Yeah. Now, they did issue a tsunami warning for parts of the Northern California coast and Southern Oregon coast. And they ended up rescinding that. They said that there was a small change in ocean height, only about a couple of inches, and that was about 200 miles out to sea, but nothing hit the shores.
There was a video of some people shopping in like a Northern California grocery store, and it was a pretty good shake, and no one cared. They were like, okay, no big deal.
The world's smallest park is getting a little holiday...
The holiday cheer?
Sure, we'll go with cheer.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Mill Ends Park, the world's smallest park, now has a Christmas tree on it.
Yeah. By the way, is that not the most Portland hipster thing that we have?
The world's smallest park?
The world's Mill's End. I mean,
yeah.
If you had to say just...
How big would you say that is? It's like 452 square inches, but like if you described it...
I don't know, it's probably
it's like a hula hoop?
Yeah, I think it's smaller than that.
Is it?
Yeah. When you walk by it, have you ever actually seen it?
No.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the pictures.
I'd say it's probably like 2 feet across by maybe a foot, foot and a half wide.
Well,
it's tiny.
It has a tree on it now.
Yeah.
A little Christmas tree. It's got little holiday birds and ornaments. And it's topped with a star.
I just wanted them to do... what they should have done is the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. You don't know...
Yeah, like just no...
Well, the Charlie Brown Christmas tree is like two twigs and it's got the one red bulb that like hangs down from it.
That'd have been cute.
Yes. Because like if you've seen, you may not know it like off the top of your head, but if you saw a photo, you'd be like, oh yeah, that's the Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
I'm looking at where that is. Oh, that's right over by us.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, it's Waterfront Park.
Yeah.
It's right in the middle. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I drive by that all the time.
Whenever you see that, like the cheesy little one red bulb, that's the Charlie Brown tree.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's what I say. I can't believe you hadn't gone by. Yeah, it's tiny.
I've driven by it a million times. I've never noticed it.
Yeah.
It's right there on the...
Yeah, because again, it's like...
Because it's small.
It is just, it is so Portland. Yeah, and they have a little, there's like a little, I guess it's just a sign.
Yeah, it's got a sign on it.
A little sign. It says Mills End.
It is very Portland.
If you walk by it, sometimes you'll see people there that are doing the, of course, you got to take a selfie in front of it.
Yes. Yes. Everything's for the gram.
Everything's for the gram, man.
Including coming face to face with a great white shark.
Yeah, I'm good there, man. I don't even have Instagram anymore. And if I did, that's not worth it.
Now, we've got news out of Autzen Stadium.
Oh, by the way, when we come back from the Autzen Stadium news, I have more marine life news that I think is way more interesting than the great white.
Okay.
Orcas. Have you seen what the orcas are up to?
They added again?
In Oregon?
Mm-hmm. Well, north of us.
Yeah, they're up in, yeah, with like San Juans.
Yeah. Have you seen what they're doing now?
No.
Yeah.
Can't wait to find out.
Yeah, that's a whole thing.
All right. Well, we've got a lot to get to. Stay there. Coming up next on In the News on The Fan.
Am I bogging you, Ron?
All right. This is In the News, December 5, 2024. Primetime Eugene, Autzen Stadium. That's where the Ducks play football. A custodian contracted with the University of Oregon Athletics Department is accused of stealing not one but two utility vehicles from Autzen Stadium in November.
Like the little gators that they drive around on?
According to court documents, Eugene police officers were called to a report of a John Deere Gator utility vehicle found abandoned on the Franmayer Bridge.
These things are kind of fun to drive around in.
This was November 8th. The vehicle allegedly had a broken axle and a broken taillight. And a skateboard and backpack were found in the back.
They got a little loose with it. Those were always fun, like, because they were always out with the training staff. I'm not going to lie, players from time to time would take those for joyrides. It's good times.
So the best part of the story is that while authorities were at the scene, Lex Waldner, 28-year-old male, arrived in another Gator to retrieve the skateboard and backpack.
So he stole another one to go retrieve what he left in the first stolen one?
Correct. Now, the question is how the hell was he going to get both of those? Well, I guess he would just abandon both, right?
Abandoned, yeah.
But my God, they said he had an open beer in the cup holder.
Bet he had more than that.
Yeah. Way to go, second buddy. One. Way to go. That was a hell of a run.
According to court records, he told police he was a custodian contracted by Oregon Athletics and had used his athletic access card to use a Gator because he had a family emergency and he could not afford an Uber. He then allegedly told police he was intending to drive the Gator home about 8 miles away from the stadium. However, he said he got distracted by a person on a bench, crashed the Gator into a wall, then he walked back to the stadium to take the second Gator to take it home. God, what a mess.
Yeah, when you crash the first stolen vehicle, you have to go back and get another.
By the way, where does the beer come in?
Well, he said,
At what point in the family emergency do you crack a cold one?
So he stole the first Gator at 2:45 in the morning. He then told police he worked at the basketball arena until midnight, and he went to a bar where he had had a beer before leaving to steal the Gator. He also said he had gotten a total of 8 hours of sleep in 72 hours. He had smoked marijuana. He's arraigned on a charge of unauthorized use of a vehicle.
If he was up for, what, is that 66 of 72 hours? Might have been smoking more than marijuana.
It's possible. Maybe that was the family emergency. You know. Is that a meth?
Yikes. I always love that. Like, do you think that works? I'm just really tired.
Just tired. Well, it's like when celebrities go to the hospital for exhaustion. They check themselves into Cedars. Right. With what? Exhaustion. Oh, yeah. I often do that. Sometimes where I get exhausted and I think to myself, you know what I need to do? Go to the hospital. Clearly.
Well, you're up, news contributor.
Yes. So 37 years ago.
It's about time.
Orcas.
Yeah.
Off the coast of Seattle in the San Juans, where you have paddleboarded, right?
With the orcas? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, did you paddleboard or kayak?
No, it was kayak.
Kayak. So... In 1987, this was noticed that the orcas were wearing salmon hats. What? A pod of orcas started wearing dead salmon as hats. And then soon after, it spread, a fashion trend spread to other orca pods in the area. No one understood why. And then by 1988, it was over. The orcas had moved on to something else. Yeah, check it out. Look, dead salmon hat.
Okay.
There's wearing dead salmon around. Well, here we are 37 years later, and guess what's back?
The salmon hat.
The salmon hats. Orcas have been spotted for the first time in 37 years in the same area. Fashion is cyclical. The dead salmon hats are back, and scientists have no idea why.
That really is amazing. We see almost the exact same cycle in fashion. It's like 30 years-ish, and everything comes back around. How about that?
There was an orca seen carrying a solitary dead fish on her head. Then a few weeks, the behavior was picked up by members of the other pods, suggesting something about it must have appealed. And now it's back. And now it's spreading.
It was an homage to their ancestors.
How
long do they live?
The ancestors wore dead hats?
How long do orcas live?
Let's look.
Is it the same orcas?
I don't know.
I mean, 37 years. It's not that long. 37 years, you know? Orcas.
They live between 50 and 90 years.
So it could be the same orcas.
It's possible.
They just went to a vintage shop. You know, they did a little retro shopping.
First off, I think it's awesome that orcas are wearing hats. And
how does that work?
Do a Google image search. You can see them wearing.
Well, I know, I see it, but how do they balance it on there while they're swimming in the ocean or the sound?
They're very talented individuals.
Yeah. Weird. Just out there cruising around with a dead fish on their head. I saw that and I thought to myself, that is amazing. Because we know that they're way more advanced and smarter than we give them credit for. Is it possible that this is a fashion thing? That one orca is like, hey, check it out. This is badass. And then the other orcas.
He's the lead orca.
Yeah, and then the other orcas are like, dude, Jimmy over there has got a dead fish hat. And he's like, well, I want a dead fish hat. And then once it spreads, do they think it's lame because now everyone's doing it, so they just ditch it? And here we are 37 years later, and now it's back. I didn't know orcas had fashion trends.
I also wonder if it could be like a scent thing, like if they're trying to announce that they're showing up because they've got a bounty or something. I mean, I like the fashion angle better. It's more fun. But maybe there's some nature reason behind
this. This is a marine biologist says, over time, we may be able to gather enough information to show why, for instance, one fish used as a hat for over 30 minutes. And then he ate it. Yeah. He's carrying it around on his head.
I think Buck might be onto something.
Or maybe it's like those little cucumber eye masks. It's a little self-care and then a little snack afterwards.
A little self-care. Yeah.
Said they're capable of communicating in different ways. They have whole cultures. They communicate with orcas in different regions. They hunt in groups. So no one seems to know. They don't even have a working theory right now on why they wore them in the first place.
Buck heard this story, and he has a working theory within 60 seconds.
I don't think that's a working theory.
I think it's a working theory. I think that's a great theory.
It seems reasonable enough, plausible at least.
That's right. As a matter of fact, let's go with it.
Deborah Giles, who's the science and research director at the nonprofit Wild Orca, said, honestly, your guess is as good as mine.
So my guess is good.
That is true. Your guess is as good as mine.
At least as good as hers.
I don't know about you, but I find it adorable. The idea that there's just, the photos of it are just cute as the dickens.
So he's like the Cam Newton of the orcopod.
Yes. And now
a little out there, but.
Hey, it spread in 87, and now it's spreading again. Other orcas have been seen with the dead salmon hat.
Texas, was the scientist wearing bell bottoms and puka shells? What's next? Old Nirvana and Pink Floyd t-shirts?
Well, I was trying, and this got me down a rabbit hole.
That'd be cool.
It got me down a rabbit hole yesterday of, have we seen animals wear stuff? And they said that, you see it with, chimps and some primates, but they said that the closest thing, they said humpback whales for a while, a certain part of them were wearing seaweed on their head. And they thought maybe
dreads.
Yeah, they thought maybe that was a texture thing. That perhaps it felt good.
I've seen dolphins play with seaweed, they pass it to each other, but not wear it.
No. Animals usually don't wear things. So this is
wouldn't it be cool if they did though?
That'd be awesome. If your dog just showed up outside and he's
animal fashion.
Yeah.
He's in a little top hat.
Animals in clothing is great.
Well, they are, but it would be like when your kids, when you get older kids, Buck, you don't know this yet, but because you just throw them in PJs and a coat and tell them to go to school. But later in life, they'll dress and you'll be like, oh God, what are they wearing? Yeah. Or
this happened today. This happened
today.
Yeah. I put him in a cozy little sweatsuit to go to school. It was like a Carhartt branded sweatsuit, brown and black. He wanted to wear his rainbow socks and blue Crocs with it. So that was quite the combo.
Mm, I love it.
Yeah.
Expression.
I let it go, man. Let him be.
Oh,
himself.
And I did. I wasn't getting in the way of that train.
What if he puts a dead fish on his head?
I like the text line saying maybe the salmon hats are like gang signs. They're showing colors and turf.
Yeah. So you check it out, man. You know what happens when you come over here.
Don't tread on me. Or us.
That's the Trump flag of the Orca World.
Deal asks, what if they come back wearing MAGA hats?
Huh. No offense, but I thought the Orca dead fish news, I liked it better than the great white news.
Yeah, it's more interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, great whites, great. Bitch, they're out there.
Yeah, you see them. You know what you don't see for 37 years?
Yeah.
Fish hats. I mean, when I saw the headline, I was like, all right, you immediately got me.
Like, I got I'm like, what does that even look like? I'm like, well, it looks exactly like that.
Exactly okay. Like what you would think.
What if animals bring back the pocket watch?
Like a
monocle?
Monocle, that was right where I was going. Like a Mr. Peanut sort of thing?
They do suspenders.
Mm. I like suspenders.
You do or don't?
I do.
I flirted with them. Yeah. They're not comfortable.
No, I know. They're not practical, and I don't have a pair, but yeah. I think they're kind of cool looking.
I bought two pair a number of years ago, and they're not comfortable.
What?
A belt is a far superior way to go. I still have them, but you ever have something that you just it reminds you of your dumbass? Like, I can't believe I tried to make that happen for a while. It constantly feels like it's giving you a wedgie, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's no good.
Yeah. It's too bad.
There's a reason why no one wears suspenders anymore.
Some people do.
Yeah, old people.
Yeah, when's the last time you saw a young dude wearing suspenders?
Well, hipsters.
But that's my point. When you
sure, but for function, I guess.
When you try to put on... Well, that's why I did it. I thought it kind of looked cool with some outfits. Like when you're dressing up, I was like, oh yeah, this is going to look sweet. Yeah, it may look cool.
Yeah, I wore some to my freshman homecoming dance.
Yeah, you spend the entire time being like, this is super uncomfortable.
With your rented suit.
Oh, I don't even think I went with a suit. I think I just did a little shirt and tie with some khakis.
Yeah. Well, there is in the news, guys. December 5, 2024, brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. The Hot 5 at 5 is next. A lot of football news when we return on The Fan.